Many of you have probably seen the wonderful news that we will finally take a long-awaited mission trip to Ecuador. It has been long in the planning. COVID derailed us for quite a while. We are very excited to send a group of youth and adult leaders next Easter Sunday with our prayers and blessings. I myself have been blessed to spend a lot of time in South America on a similar trip to Ecuador, wing shooting in Argentina, and bill fishing in the Pacific Ocean. And in college, right around the time I met Leanne, I took a less exotic trip to our southern neighbor. I convinced my parents to give me $500 for a plane ticket, and with cash in hand, I scoured the internet for an airport I could arrive. There was only one flight that I could afford, and it was not to Ecuador. It was not to Argentina with its steak and wine. It was not to Peru with its ruins, or Chile with Patagonia. It was to that land that every red-blooded American, every pale-skinned young boy wishes to travel. That is Hugo Chavez's Venezuela. Now, I spoke no Spanish. I'll pick it up, I told my parents. Don't worry. You're fine. So I signed up for a language immersion course in a small university town in the mountains. There was one problem. Moments after I landed in Caracas, Hugo Chavez used his power and authority to shut down air travel within the country for a week. And so I would have to find my way across the Andes Mountains to my destination. A series of buses. I even spent 30 miles, the longest 30 miles of my life, in the back of a Venezuelan military truck full of soldiers and boxes of munitions. It carried me over 2 days across the mountains to my destination. Once there, I took a deep breath, and I settled in. It was a beautiful little college town. And one sunny afternoon, as I wandered the streets and enjoyed an ice-cold Coca-Cola, I noticed that the students were headed to the plaza in the center of town. And they were smiling, and they were cheering. And I had not picked up any Spanish yet, and so I thought, surely they are headed to a festival or a parade. Dutifully, I joined the crowd, marched step in step with them. Now, I'm not sure exactly when the light bulb finally struck. It was sometime between the police whistles and the store owners pulling down the metal safety doors in front of their shops, and a little bit before the tear gas began, that I realized this was not a parade. This was a protest. And as I worked my way through the crowd, tears streaming down my face, it is called tear gas for a reason, I felt like Peter in Jerusalem. I denied my association when asked. American, they asked me? No. I'm from Alberta. I blindly followed the crowd that day, seeking a spectacle. And I got way more than I bargained. My parents around that time always asked me, if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you do it too? Huh. Probably. Jesus is teaching in the temple in our gospel this morning with his friends. As you know from the past few weeks, he is laying down some pretty serious truths in this stretch of Luke. The people are not listening to these truths. They are paying more attention to the splendor of the temple than the splendor of his words. The giant columns, the gold, the stones. Jesus is having none of it. He's frustrated. These things you are so enamored by will one day be nothing. Stones will tumble down. Moth and rust will destroy. All will be dust again. Now, this would be a good place. This would be a good place for his friends to ask him, Lord, if this temple is not eternal, what is? And yet they don't. Still focused on the temple, they ask, when will this happen? He does not give them an answer, but a warning. Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. Now we hear this passage and we think of rogue priests or cult leaders. People using the name of Jesus for their own ends and some weird religious context, but it stretches so far beyond that. Do not go after them, Jesus says. There are endless paths to follow in this world. Every snake oil salesman has a way, a path, something, a journey they're trying to sell you. Whether they be a politician, an influencer, a New Age guru, or a priest, they might tell you the way is a party line vote, a new diet fad, a self-help gimmick. A buddy told me yesterday that he was at a cocktail party and mentioned having a headache. And so his friend's wife made him sit on the couch while she held a little blue crystal to his forehead for 10 minutes. Did it work? I asked him incredulously. That or the ibuprofen, he replied. Crystals were her way. The world draws us to infinite forks in the road. Infinite paths, infinite ways, each of them leading to a dead end. And yet, like yours truly, on the Plaza de Bolivar in Venezuela, we hop in line and march along with the crowd, whistling and skipping, ambivalent to the folly and tears that await. We join in the rush to the new solution. Why do we do this? We do this because we are searching, we're seeking, we're longing, we are begging, we're needing a path, a way, a truth. The problem is that we find it usually on a phone screen or in a bottle or any of the other billion distractions, earthly spectacles. Dangerous paths that beckon us. Have you ever heard that phrase of so-and-so, he lacks direction. She lacks direction. You never heard it? I hear it all the time. It's silly, really. Everyone is headed in a direction. Everyone is on a path. It's not direction that we lack. The whole world is trying to give us a direction, a path. Send us down the one they want us on. No direction is not the problem. It's that most of us haven't figured out that there's only one direction. There's only one path, one truth, one way. The question is, can we find it through the static of our lives? That way is Jesus Christ. That's the way. If you remember only one thing from the constant barrage of babble that I lay upon you every Sunday, remember that. Jesus Christ is the way. And I think this is the next part of my sermon, but we'll find out. It's going to have to be. Jesus Christ is the way. And it is that way that we need more than ever. Sorry, I'm definitely missing a page. Here it is. I found my way again. Jesus Christ is that way. My favorite church father wrote this about Jesus Christ in the City of God. God's Son, assuming humanity without destroying his divinity, established and founded this faith that there might be a way for man to man's God through a God-man. Now, the only way that is infallibly secured against all mistakes is when the very same person, that is Jesus, is at once God and man. God our end and man our way. There is one way. There is one way. It is the way of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. There is one end, and that is God. We find that message, we find that truth in Scripture. We find that truth in our Lord, and we are called to share that truth with the world. The bishop reiterated that at our diocesan convention yesterday, where a few of us spent our morning and Friday evening. Those of you that were here when the bishop visited, you'll remember his words. Do you remember his words, those of you that are here? If there is free ice cream and you don't tell me about it, you are not my friend. Remember that? The ice cream that he's speaking of, the good thing that we're meant to share, that secret, that is Christ. That is the truth of Jesus. Y'all, this world is hurting more than it ever has. People are out there, they're stumbling down dead ends. One after another. And we are sitting here, right? Just as the bishop told us, with free ice cream. We're sitting here with the truth, with the way, with the answer for them. We're sitting here on a truth that we ourselves take for granted, more often than not. Now, Bishop Richards charged those of us that were there yesterday to charge you today with a task. He's not asking for money, though I am later in the announcements, but he's not asking for money. He's not even asking for you to pray with him or for him right now. He's asking you to share that secret. He's asking you to share that truth. He's asking you to invite this year 10 people to church. I know, it's terrifying. I can see you're scared. 10 people. And by the way, I'm not talking about people that are sitting right now in another church, right? That's not what we're all about. They have a truth. They have the way. They've found it. And that's easy. There are 10 people in your lives that have wandered away. There are 10 people in your lives that have gone astray. There are people in your lives, more than you know or realize, I bet, that have never known the truth, that have never heard it. Those are the people the bishop is talking about. Invite 10. Reach out to them. Invite them to church. Invite them to a pints lecture. Invite them to a garden work day. Invite them to a Bible study. Invite them to a barbecue. Invite them to spend time with this group of people. This group of people with free ice cream, with a truth. With the truth, with the way. Let's join the bishop, and let's join every parish in this diocese. Let's spend the next year sharing with those people what we know. Let us point them, like John the Baptist, to the way that leads to a true end, and pull them off the path that ends in a dead one. Amen.
Amen.